Today's program is brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America! I'm Chad Pagano, a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter, and you're listening to The Wild Game Domain, From the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. Very exciting show today. I have a very special guest. I'm going to introduce him in 1 minute, but I want to kind of talk about last week. We were kind of talking about the image of hunters in general, and you know, what we kind of, you know, what our responsibility as hunters are to our sport or our undertaking. And then, you know, obviously in the past I've done shows about getting into hunting, trying to promote the sport. And I ran across this very interesting young man from the New York City area via Tennessee who actually runs a, you ready for this? Get excited, a hunting school. So my special guest today is Fisher Neal. Welcome aboard, Fisher.
Hi, Chad. Thanks for having me.
He is the founder of Learn to Hunt New York City, a guide service specializing in teaching people who've never hunted in their lives how to become self-sufficient hunters. Wow. That's probably a bigger undertaking that I'd like to take. So, Fisher, you're from Tennessee? You grew up in Tennessee, down south?
Yeah, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay, so you grew up hunting. How'd you get into the sport? How'd you get into hunting?
My dad was from a rural part of the state, and he got into it when he was a young man. And the earliest memories that I have are of wanting to go hunt with him. And he was, you know, more than happy to take me along all the time, even from a very early age. And yeah, I've never stopped.
So that's, you know, that's how most hunters, I would assume, get into it. That's how I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we probably lived parallel lives. You were down south. I was upstate New York getting dragged out into the woods and loving every minute of it. So you're hunting. You're growing up. You went to college down there, mm-hmm. down south.
Volunteers.
Go Volunteers.
That's right.
I'm a War Eagle fan, but... We'll argue about that later. I have very little commitment to the college football scene, but if I had to pick a team, it'd be the War Eagles. So, and then something very interesting happens, at least in my eyes. You decide to become an actor at some point.
That's right.
Can we talk about that for a...
Yeah, it just sort of, you know, it's one of those things that happens. And for me in high school, it happened in early college. I fell in love with acting in the theater and decided that I wanted to be a professional actor. And pretty much from that point on, you know, I knew that I was going to need to move to most likely New York City. And I pretty much assumed that I would have to just give up hunting, you know, or it would be a thing where, like, I would, you know, save money and then, like, make trips home and do it.
Right.
You know, I didn't think of it as being something that I could, like, do on a regular basis. But I've actually found that to not be the case.
Right, obviously. So, and we're going to get to that. So then I want to mention this. So you after college, you apply to Yale, mm-hmm. and go to the Yale School of Drama, which is no easy task. So you're obviously a good actor and a good student, right?
A pretty good student, yeah.
And so we'll get back to the acting thing. This is a hunting show. So you're up here, and then you decide to start a business.
Yeah, well, so many of my friends from grad school had asked me to take them out hunting. I had a long email list, and every time I was going to go, I would email people and say, well, if anybody wants to meet me at, you know, 4 a.m, I'll take you. And, you know, 9 times out of 10 people passed on the opportunity because right. they had stayed up late or they had classwork that they needed to focus on. But about a dozen people I took out on their first hunt ever.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, that interest just kept on building and building. And one of my classmates started eating the paleo diet because she was she'd been experimenting a lot with her diet, trying to get things where her body seemed to react well to the food she had. And so I started saving hearts and livers from all the deer that I killed for her. And also some of the hearts and livers of, like, ducks and geese, too. She liked eating them. So, you know, I loved the fact that I had a friend who would make use of them. And then when I came to New York, and, I'm, you know, as an actor, you're always looking for ways to make money that aren't getting behind a bar or just sitting around on unemployment or something. So, you know, I had this idea, you know, there's all these people who want to learn to hunt. And it's such a labor-intensive process to teach someone how to hunt, and it takes a lot of effort to learn. And I just thought, you know, if there was a service available, if somebody was willing to do it, if somebody was willing to pay, that, you know, I would love to do that. So I just kind of started offering.
Right. So that's where Learn to Hunt New York City comes in, .com.
Yeah.
And you offer, let's talk about the class structure a little bit. I mean, that's what I really like about it. You're not just dragging people out for the first time out into the woods, throwing a rifle in their hand and telling them to kill deer, right? We're starting at the beginning here?
Yeah, definitely. Right from scratch. Like, you know, I start usually with a group class. It's very inexpensive. And I have people come, and I'm able to explain, you know, most folks don't know anything, for example, about the hunter safety course that they need to take in order to be eligible to buy a license and right. things like that. So, you know, I go through all of that stuff, really basic information about firearms and bows and arrows, and spend a lot of time talking about deer hunting and then just taking people's questions so, like, everybody gets up to speed enough to know, like, what are the steps that they need to take on their own.
Right, before they even get out in the woods
exactly.
and attempt an actual hunt.
Exactly.
Now, do you take them to the next level if they're ready for that or want to do that? Will you take them out in the woods? Will you show them how to shoot? Will you
Absolutely.
Help them purchase a rifle, archery equipment? I mean, I can't imagine this is a big undertaking.
Absolutely. The way I've only been doing this for about a year now. I've been hunting all my life, but only recently, you know, moved here and started teaching people. But I've sort of the next step is I offer private lessons to people. I can offer group lessons too. So I'll take people out, like in New Jersey, where I live, we have all these wildlife management areas.
Right.
And a number of them have rifle ranges and archery ranges on them. So I'll take somebody out, I'll teach them how to shoot, you know, the .22 rifle, and then a bigger, like the full shotgun if they want to learn. I can also teach them the crossbow while I'm there. And if they have their own bow, I don't want anybody shooting my bow. And, you know, it's got to be pretty tailored to the person. But if they have a bow, and a couple of guys have so far, I've, you know, given them a lesson in shooting on their own bow. Though I would always encourage those people to get, like, a true, you know, like an archer's, I mean, I'm an archer, but you know what I mean, like a competitive archer's lesson.
Right, absolutely.
And so then I also take people out, you know, I just walk them through the woods and I'm like, you know, here are tracks, these are trails, you know, areas like this is a bedding area, the deer feeding on this type of stuff.
Right. So you're covering, you know, soup to nuts here as far as scouting, the whole thing, deer trends, you know, where to set up. What about tree stand setups, things of that nature? Or, you know, will you put them in a tree stand? Will you teach them how to use a climber? All these things people, I've gotten emails about, you know, they're intimidated. I want to go hunting. I don't even know how to get up in a tree.
Yeah, I do teach people how to get up in the climber, and it's something like, you know, I'm still figuring out. I actually need to have I've had a few people come to me through recommendations where they didn't necessarily go through the whole process, and sometimes that there was catch-up work that needed to be done, like not just climbing out of a tree stand, but usually I have people hunting out of climbing stands,
right?
Because that's what I have access to. I live in an apartment in Jersey City, so I can't, you know, and I'm hunting all exclusively on public land.
Right.
So I'm not like leaving a lot of ladder stands out that people can just climb up in. But, you know, shooting out of that is something that takes a little practice. You've got a bar in your way and tight spaces
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. So, yeah, I expose people to all of those things and try to give them as many skills as possible so that, you know, they can either keep coming back and learning more from me, or they can sort of
kind
like
of branch out on their own, start learning on their own. Wow, that's great. That's a great service. All right, listen, we're going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain and my special guest, Fisher Neal from Hunt. I should probably know this. See, I told you I'm not. Hunt New York City. Learn to hunt, newyorkcity.com. We'll be right back.
Today's break song is called Target Practice by Hard Bodies.
White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. A full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Hey, we're back with the Wild Game Domain. I'm your host, Chad Pagano, and I am joined today by Fisher Neal, owner, operator, I guess, of Learn to Hunt New York City. Okay, so let's learn about Fisher. Let's, you know, some of your philosophy, hunting, why hunting, you know, why, you know, what kind of hunter are you? Do you prefer certain animals? Do you do it all? You know, give me your general overview of your feelings.
All right. I've done a little bit of everything hunting. You know, I grew up mostly hunting deer, but also hunting some waterfowl. My favorite thing to do is, I'm sort of torn between bow hunting for deer and duck hunting. I
sound familiar to our listeners, right, Jack? That's me.
It's sort of a thing, like, hunting has evolved for me. I think I maybe saw another show that you, when you were talking about the different, you know, sort of like stages of a hunter, like at one point you just want to get something, and then another point it's all about getting numbers, and then it's about getting a big thing. And I've been through all of those phases, but now I'm sort of in a place where I really enjoy being out there, and I love the meat. I'm a meat hunter first. Nice. I definitely, like, I sort of set different goals every year, you know, like, when I first came here and I moved to New Jersey, I didn't think that pursuing multiple species, for example, was wise. So I pretty much just stuck to ducks, tried to find places where I could have a few successful hunts with my limited resources, which I was able to do. And so then the next year, I really wanted to do the bear hunt because I'd never in my life successfully hunted a bear. So that was like my objective for the year, and I just focused on that, and I'm still leading the bear.
Awesome.
And
that was a New Jersey bear hunt?
Mm-hmm. That was in the New Jersey bear hunt.
Awesome. Now, in New Jersey, you're only using shotguns, real quick?
Yes, and as far as guns, I mean, you can use black powder as well.
Okay. So, now, getting back to that, you're a meat hunter. I'm the same way. You've heard a couple of my shows. I'm the same way. I run around saying I'm not a trophy hunter. But, you know, it was funny. I got an email just recently, and the guy really made me think, you know, what does trophy hunting really mean? Because he said, you know, basically called me out, said I was full of shit, that I should stop calling myself a trophy hunter. He went to my Twitter account. He said, you only post, you know, you,
pictures of something big.
Yeah, with the big antlers, and you're always, you know, bragging about that stuff. And, you know, he said, let me ask you a question. And the question was, so I'm going to ask you that same question. A six-pointer standing under your tree stand at 10 yards broadside, and there's a spike horn. The spike horn's bigger. Meat-wise, are you shooting the spike, or are you going to take the six-pointer out?
I'm probably shooting the spike.
Okay.
In that choice, I mean, for me, any deer you kill with a bow and arrow is a trophy. And I also have strong feelings about people thinking of hunting as being either trophy hunting or meat hunting.
Right.
And this vague idea that, like, because you enjoy it, it's somehow not, it changes it.
Right.
Which is ludicrous, actually.
Right, and that's what I explained to the guy, basically the same answer. I said, listen, you want to call me a trophy hunter or label me that based on your conception of what a trophy is, fine, go right ahead. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't pass on a lot of deer that walk under my tree stand. You know, I pattern my deer from my tree stand through cameras, through scouting, all year long. I'm already out there for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know what's out there. And so early season, yeah, I'll pass. The first deer I kill every year the last 10 years has been a doe.
Yeah.
As soon as a doe walks under, I start eating, you know, I start eating venison. And then from there, I get a little picky. And then, you know, depending, I target a certain deer, yes, usually. Mm-hmm. But late season, I start hitting, you know, meat again. And
yeah.
So, you know, this guy got bent out of shape. Okay, so... If someone wants to get in contact with you about your class, do you have any classes coming up? Do you have...
I do, yeah. My next class is on February 12th. It's right in Manhattan. So if people just, like, go to the website, you know, everything's all set up, they can get a spot and come to the class and all that stuff. And, you know, all of my contact information is on the website. If they just go there, they can find me.
Okay, and that's what you were referring to before, the basic class.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to talk about license requirements.
Exactly. I do like a 75-minute PowerPoint presentation. I explain everything that you need to know to sort of like lay the foundation for, okay, I got to take this, I got to do that.
Right.
You know, there's a vast amount of information to know, like where can I physically go and take this course? You know, most people assume that it has to be in New York State, but it's not true. You can go right over into New Jersey and take the course. You don't have to be a resident there, because most of the courses, there are some in New York, but most of them are like way upstate.
Right.
But there are a number of them in New Jersey that are only about an hour away.
That's great advice. I knew that, never connected it. You're right.
So, you know, there's tons and tons of stuff like that. You know, and I show people maps of all, like, where all the public lands, you know, they have some good shaded maps and, you know, things like that.
That's great. Okay. I forgot about this question. It was at the bottom of my list. And it's that you know, goofy hunter's question everyone's got to ask on an hunting interview or when you're interviewing a hunter. Your dream hunt. What would be your dream hunt?
I want to bow hunt for elk during the, like, rut. You know, I want to call in a big bull elk to like 5 yards and shoot him with a bow.
Out west.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my must-do bucket list. And I really want to do it DIY. This is a thing that that actually affects how I've chosen to, like, do the hunting business, right? Because most guide services, they kind of, like, it seems to me anyway, like, they kind of do it for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, all the scouting, all the
right,
nitty-gritty work, and there's certainly something to be said for being able to just go there and just enjoy everything.
Right. Well, for me, that's always been part of the process. I like the nitty-gritty.
Exactly.
I want to do the scouting. I want to see the aerials. I want to go on Google Earth and see if I can figure out their patterns just from that, and then get on the ground and scout out. Yeah, and again, I don't begrudge anybody for hiring a guide. You have a limited amount of time, and you could afford it. Go out and hire a guide, as long as it's a, you know, a fair chase hunt. I really have no problem with it, as opposed to a caged hunt, which, you know, I oppose.
Of course.
At least.
But yeah, that sense of self-satisfaction is so much stronger if you've put in the work yourself. And that's part of what I really want to teach people to do and have them feel like they're doing.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
That's the thing for me. And you know, I mean, I guess a new student coming to you on February 12th sitting in your class might not even have an idea of what that's like, but, you know, and may need the hand-holding, we'll call it, for a while, and that's okay too. But I feel like you're going to let them go at any point they feel they're ready and not try to, you know, take their money.
Definitely.
You know, as a guide service or something of that nature. You're trying to teach them. What is the saying, Jack? Teach a man to fish and he knows how to feed himself. Something like that.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah, that's awesome. New Jersey hunting in general, we're kind of jumping all over the place, but, you know, I grew up in New York, hunting New York, never crossed over. It's a nice country, New Jersey. I've never really even been there. And recently, the last couple of years, I had a good friend who hunts in a club down in New Jersey. You know, one of these old school clubs. They've been around since the 20s.
The waterfowl clubs, right?
Yeah, well, everything.
Or the upland game, too.
They do a lot of everything. And he's been inviting me forever to come out on these deer drives they do, the deer drives. And living in New York, I've never been on a formal deer drive, truthfully, where it's organized, the Orange, you know, 40, 50 guys. You know, my father and I and my family, we would do kind of little, you know, informal drives for each other to our stands, things like that. And last year, or this season, I finally got to get out there and experience it with these guys. And I got to tell you, New Jersey has some beautiful state property. We're doing it all on state land, probably pissing off a lot of stand hunters, I would imagine, as we were driving. We had about 50 guys.
Yeah.
It was all done safely, and it was all done very professionally. And I've never seen so many deer, truthfully, in my life on these deer drives. Deer everywhere. And these guys, you want to talk about meat hunters, they shot some of the ugliest looking deer I've ever seen. These New Jersey, like, swamp bucks with antlers growing down in all different directions. But what a great time, and all the meat was fabulous from it. Do you have any problems in New Jersey as far as restrictions? You know, when I hear New Jersey, I think restrictions, rules, getting onto the land. Does that affect your hunts in any way?
The only thing that's somewhat detrimental is that sometimes there's just a lot of people out there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, one morning I set up in a marsh, you know, for a duck hunting, and a couple other guys set up like 30 yards from me.
Wow.
And ruined my day.
Yeah.
But the majority of the time, actually, access is easy, and it's actually it's fairly liberal rules, at least relative to what I've seen in New York. I haven't hunted as much in New York, but you know, like, I mean, you can use a crossbow now in New York, but you couldn't before. You can do that in New Jersey. You can bow hunt until February 21st.
Wow, and it starts earlier too, right?
The September 15th.
Yeah, that's we don't start till October 1st.
There's, you know, and it's, you know, it's basically like unlimited antlerless deer, you know, because of the population. They're just trying to increase the harvest, right? So they keep extending the season, and you know, I can't believe it's actually better hunting than what I grew up with close to home.
Wow.
We would drive 5 hours to get good hunting.
In Tennessee. And see, I have this vision of like hunting camps all over Tennessee, and you could just walk out your back door and hunt. Where in Tennessee are you from?
Well, so I'm from Knoxville, and the, you know, the really good stuff is like in the central and western parts of the state. And where my dad grew up was in the western part of the state. So that's kind of where, like, you know, like, he had a lease out there that we would go to, that we still like travel to, and there's like lots of deer and big deer there. But in the eastern part of the state, you know, we don't have the agriculture, and that's really what is driving that incredible boom in the deer populations out west. And also out west, you know, you have the Mississippi River, so they're getting a lot more ducks. You know, whereas here in New Jersey, I mean, so the populations in East Tennessee are starting to rise a lot, but here in New Jersey, or well, there in New Jersey, we're in New York right now. You know, it's been like, you know, in all these suburban areas, there's lots of these areas that were protected, and these deer have been, the populations have been rising for a long time before anyone was allowed to hunt.
Right.
And there's a lot of agriculture out there.
I do a lot of hunting out on Long Island, and that's the problem. You know, we're overpopulated in deer, and really you have to jump through hoops to get out to a property. I pay a lot of money for leases out of Long Island, so I'm lucky. But the state lands are almost impossible to access for a regular archery hunter. If you want to wake up on a Wednesday and decide to call in sick and go hunting on Long Island, it's not easy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, before I moved here from New Haven after school, I spent hours and hours and hours, as I often do for hunting too, looking at maps online.
Right.
And one thing that I discovered was that if I set myself in Jersey City, where I still have access into Manhattan easily, that there are a number of large properties, you know, like 1 to 5,000 acres within an hour drive in sort of like an arc.
Right.
You know, once you hit that mark, in between an hour and an hour 15, there's even like, you know, 20 more of them. I would wager that there's somewhere between 50 and 100,000 acres of public hunting land within an hour drive of Manhattan if you go that way instead of out Long Island.
Right. Yep. And that's why, you know, I hunt both. I have access to properties, Orange County, Delaware County, and I have family up in the Adirondack Mountains. So I'm lucky, but you're absolutely right. And that's what's happening on Long Island. A lot of people, a lot of hunters are realizing this, saying, you know what, I'm not going to bother. I could drive 45 minutes, you know, off the George Washington Bridge and be in nature, beautiful, beautiful woods, and hunt deer just as easily as Long Island. All right. Can we talk about your other websites real quick?
Yeah.
So we have FisherNeil.com. Easy enough, mm-hmm. and that's going to promote you as an actor.
That's right. Yeah, you know, it's a pretty common thing these days. It's kind of like an extended resume. So I have lots of pictures there. I have video of like the national commercial I did a couple of years ago, and little projects that I've done with friends, and information about the shows that I'm in, stuff
awesome.
Like that.
And that leads to your other endeavor, I'll call it.
Yeah.
TheOldSoundRoom.com.
Yeah.
Which looks really cool.
Yeah, that's been quite a wonderful thing to work on. And in fact, we're actually based in this neighborhood right here in Bushwick. We are, you know, it's a group of like 12 graduates from the Yale Drama School. We all got together at someone's prompting and, you know, ended up starting this ensemble-based theater company. And we've moved really quickly. We've already produced shows both in New York as well as in Amsterdam, and I got to go to South Africa with one of our shows. Wow. This past summer, and we, you know, we're incorporated. We got help from there's this really neat organization called Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts, and they basically set us up with a pro bono attorney. Somebody came to help us through them, and that person has helped us incorporate and file for tax exemption. That's and all awesome. That shit. So we're like a legit company.
That's great, man. So let's go back to Thursday, February 12th, right here in Manhattan. Where is that going to be?
It's at the Alchemical Theater Lab. It's on 14th Street and about 6th Avenue.
Okay, and this class, again, is going to cover all the basics, how to get your license, how to find a spot. You know, it's your overall crash course on deer hunting. So if you're If you're thinking about getting out there, this is a great opportunity on February 12th. I wouldn't pass it up. And how much does the course cost?
It's $15.
Come on. I might take it just to go there. $15. You can't go wrong. He's probably got coffee, too. You can't. You know?
No, I have to have coffee.
Yeah. You can't go wrong there. All right. So I thought I was the second most interesting hunter in the tri-state area, right? Former sniper, Stephen Ranella. Brooklyn guy, so he gets top billing, of course.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
I thought it was Steven. We've had him on the show. He's brilliant. I almost got annoyed interviewing him. I'm like, oh, you think too deeply into hunting. But Steven Ranella, number one. I thought I was number two, former Army sniper, pastry chef, hunter. But now I meet Fisher Neil, and to me, he takes second billing. I'll take third. That's all right. It was great meeting you, man. Thank
me
you
too.
For being on today's show.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, so that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening to the Wild Game Domain. I'd like to thank my man Jack for producing and engineering today's show. You can find the archived episodes of the Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Heart on Heritage Radio Network or on iTunes as a podcast. Thank you. If you kill it, eat it.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.